Murray coming up in 40 minutes. Big Shot Bob going to be joining us ahead of the NBA season. I believe that makes three straight years that on the day of the Cavs opener, we've talked to him about the Cavaliers. We also get into the big picture with the NBA, the Celtics trying to repeat, all that nonsense coming up in about 40 minutes here. But speaking of nonsense, the Browns is Brownsing again at 1-6 today. The Browns elevating the man who was brought here to build the offense for Deshaun Watson, to unlock the best version of Deshaun Watson. Only problem, Deshaun Watson has a torn Achilles. He won't be on the field on Sunday. So to talk about all the things with the Cleveland Browns, he's going to be so happy to do this. Daryl Ryder joins us now, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What's up, buddy?
I'm always happy to talk to you, Nicholas.
That is, I don't know where we're going, Nicholas, here. You're not Santa Claus. You're not my mom.
That's what you get for insinuating that I'm not always happy to talk to you.
I think it's more talking about the Browns. You've
better be lucky I didn't use your middle name here, pal.
Look at easy slugger. So it's interesting. So this week, each week has had a different emotion that has kind of really dictated my Browns takes. And like Monday, it was blind fury. Yesterday it was, guys, this is what people wanted, which was a definitive answer on Deshaun. So it was almost like, why are people panicking now? And today it's been almost intrigue of like, oh, you're doing this now. So you were somebody who you've admitted with us when we talked previously on air that this season was very taxing to try and go through every day because of the weight of the Deshaun Watson situation. I'm just curious. This is like a professional thing. More than do you feel like cathartic now? Like has that weight or that dynamic covering this team, has that changed because the Deshaun Watson question, at least for right now, is completely answered and not hanging over the Browns' head?
No, it's intriguing, but intriguing in the sense of I can't wait to see how this train wreck ends. I mean, that's where we're at. They're 1-6. It's the worst offense in the NFL in a variety of metrics. It's unwatchable. They can't score 200 points or 20 points in a game. They've got an opponent coming to town who averages 31. And just, since the first couple weeks of the season, seems to be putting the boots to everybody. And now, just out of sheer desperation, or because somebody walked into his office and told him what to do, or he knows he's about to get fired, or for whatever reason, Kevin Stefanski had a eureka moment, was like, you know what? Now be a great time for me to have Ken Dorsey, who completely helped to detonate what was a pretty well-functioning offense this offseason. Now would be the perfect time to have him call plays. The guy that was brought in to help Deshaun Watson, having him call the plays with Deshaun on the field, no, not the right time. Now that Deshaun is done, and, well, at least for now it's going to be Jameis, and then at some point it's going to be DTR, and I can guarantee at some point we're going to get to watch Bailey Zappi. Now's the perfect time to turn this over to my buddy Ken. It's all you, my friend. Good luck. I don't get it. Like that was, it was a stunning development three quarters of the way through his Wednesday weekly availability. He didn't lead off with it. He wasn't like, Jameis Winston's going to start this week. By the way, after some soul searching and further evaluation, Ken Dorsey will call the plays. I'll take your questions. No, thankfully, Scott Petrak asked the question, and then Kevin dropped that bombshell on us.
Why now?
Your guess is as good as mine. I wish I had an answer for you, Nick. Ask Kevin, and he just said that it was what he felt was the right thing to do at this point in the season. And you know what that might be coach speak for? He doesn't know either. I that's just where we're at right now. And again, I don't know if he was ordered to do this, which is, as we know, how the dynamics in that building sometimes can go. Yes, people do follow orders in that building. We don't know who called called for the code red, but somebody did. And just Kevin Stefanski's demeanor today, was one of a post-game press conference after they just had the boots put to them, more so than they're starting a fresh week trying to get ready to face the Baltimore Ravens.
So, as that relates to all this, I do think, because we've been asking people, you know, what does this mean for Kevin? Do you think Kevin is safe through the end of the year, and do you think he is safe going into next year?
I do. Today was the first day that I felt like Kevin might not be safe.
For next year or for the rest of this year?
Either one.
Hmm.
Nick, this has gone as bad as it possibly can go. Injuries aside, they had injuries last year. Not a factor. Still found ways to win games. Didn't matter who the quarterback was. They had four different quarterbacks win games. They are the only team to beat both top seeds in the playoff field. They beat the 49ers. They beat the Ravens. Like, you can't use injuries as an excuse. Is it a factor in the conversation? Absolutely. Is it appropriate and fair to mention them? Absolutely. You can't have the conversation without it. But, you know, the bar was set last year. And if you could overcome that last year, you know, why aren't you able to overcome anything this year? You know, the offense can't line up correctly. They can't count to 11 at times. They can't motion correctly at times. Just the mental, the physical mistakes, like, it's been sloppy football for the first 7 weeks of the season. And, well, the record properly reflects the performance on the field.
So with that, one of the narratives circling around here is that Kevin Stefanski is powerless or doesn't have power in Berea. And I don't know how that's a defense of Kevin, but I'm just curious how much you think that factors into this equation and why, after 4 years, Kevin wouldn't have more power if that's the reality.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair point to bring up, and that's why I don't know if he was ordered, but I just, because of the Browns' history under this leadership being what it is since 2012, they're fair questions to ask. And you do reach a point, and look, I've been saying it for weeks, do something, anything, to shake things up, try something different, because what you're doing is not working. And it's given us historically awful results. So, I don't know how a two-time NFL Coach of the Year might not be powerful enough to, you know, dictate who calls plays or, you know, whatever. But I am of the opinion, and I'm going to stress this, I am of the opinion that there's there's probable cause to believe that this wasn't entirely a Kevin Stefanski decision that was made.
So new play caller, new quarterback, how much better do you expect it to look on Sunday?
I don't expect it to look better.
Not even a smidgen?
Okay, they might score 18 points again, which is their season high.
Mm.
I mean, they're playing the Ravens. I think could get very ugly for the Browns on Sunday.
Multitude
of ways.
You say that as if it's not starting and ugly.
Well, I'll grant you that, but I'm just like, this could get real ugly Sunday. If the Ravens come in and put the boots to them, if you were appalled by the fan reaction last week, boy, do I have something waiting for you. Because I'm sure fans will not be pleased if there isn't a dramatic improvement. Then there's the other part of it, and I thought Jameis Winston made a fairly good point today. It's one thing to lead from the sidelines. It's a different thing to be leading as a participant. And let's be honest about it. He's the 1-2-3 go Browns guy in the huddle, not Deshaun Watson. And now he's actually going to be the guy in the huddle calling the plays and running the offense on the field. So maybe the team responds differently to him than they did to Sean. We saw it last year with Joe Flacco. I'm not saying that's going to happen, Nick, but I am willing to leave that possibility out there that, you know, as unfortunate as Deshaun's injury is, well, I don't know. Does it take some air out of the balloon, some pressure off some guys, and just they naturally play better? I don't know. We're about to find out on Sunday, though.
when it comes to how you view this for Jameis, do you think this is more likely his audition to be the starter the rest of the way? Or do you think this is more likely an audition for 31 other NFL teams ahead of the trade deadline?
I would probably say it is probably most likely more an audition to, because I think everyone in the NFL, Nick, knows what he is, right? I mean, he's going to throw as many touchdowns as picks. It's going to be entertaining, but, and maybe that's what he's going to bring. Maybe the offense will at least be entertaining, right? They'll actually move the ball. Maybe they'll score some points. They might not win, but maybe the product will at least look like they're trying. But, yeah, I mean, Jameis was asked today if he felt like this was an opportunity for him to kind of resurrect his career and show that he's a starter. And he sidestepped that, and he just basically said, hey, my focus is on, you know, just trying to go out there today and do what I got to do and try and win on Sunday. But I thought this quote, and I stalled for a second. I want to pull it up and make sure I had it accurate. He said this, he said, quote, I view this as an opportunity to go out there and be my very best. And when I'm at my very best, I'm a great NFL starter, end quote. That was Jameis Winston today. So that hopefully gives you a little peek into where his head is at right now.
Daryl, speaking of the deadline, is anyone untouchable for the Browns at the deadline?
Myles Garrett.
Not David Njoku?
Yeah, okay, I'll grant you. I mean, Miles, David, Denzel, you know, core pieces. I don't believe that this needs to be a full teardown. I really don't. I think that they need to have a definitive, crystal clear plan on offense, which we have not seen through 7 weeks. And they need a quarterback that can run said crystal clear plan. And if they have that, I think they're fine. I think they're in good shape. But I really do believe the quarterback held them back. The offensive planning held them back. The direction and leadership and things like that held them back. I don't feel like that this team and this roster needs a full gut to the studs like we saw starting back in the Sashi Brown era, back in, 15 and 16 and 7. Like, I don't think we need that. They just need some direction, some leadership, and a quarterback that can run the offense. And if they get that, I think they can be a pretty competitive football team. Again, the defense been okay. It's not been great. I'll grant you that. And yes, they do deserve some criticism. They've blown some plays. They've given up explosive, whatever. But they've lost a lot of games giving up 21 or fewer points. That's not a defensive problem. That's a we can't do squat on offense problem. So I just feel like that this doesn't need to be a complete fire sale. Now, you want to trade some guys like a Za'Darius Smith. You're not going to bring back next year, final year of the contract, whatever. I'm totally cool with that. Absolutely go for it. Stockpile them picks. But I don't think you need to trade a bunch of core pieces here and blow this thing up.
Daryl, we got about 60 seconds here, buddy. The city of Cleveland is going to court invoking the Art Modell rule to keep the Browns downtown because somebody's got to protect their phony baloney jobs. What's the farce with local politicians really about? Is it about keeping the Browns downtown or re-election or something?
I don't know. Here's what I'll say, and I've got a story on the on 93.3thefan.com, shameless plug there. I encourage you to go read it because I've got some details that have not been reported anywhere else. Here's what I'll say. You can't tell the Browns during negotiations to go pound salt. Then when they go pound salt, tell them, oh, no, wait, we want you back, and if you don't come back, we're going to sue you. Like, that's not how this is supposed to work. It's fairly ridiculous. You know, the Burke plan that the mayor proposed, I also have the figures involved in that. It is more expensive than the Brook Park plan. It involves more public money than the Brook Park plan does, and I explain that in the piece. There's a lot of posturing. The other quick note, Nick, and I know you got to go, the Browns do plan to move forward. They have until the end of the year to close on that land in Brook Park. And I was told today the team fully intends to close on the sale of that land, acquire it, so they can move full steam ahead with that dome, regardless of whatever legal moves the city of Cleveland makes in a courtroom.
Daryl, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate you.
You bet.
Darryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When we come back, is he auditioning for you or the rest of the NFL? We're going to talk about that next on 92.3 The Fan. Quarterback job, meaning the rest of this way and maybe into the future this weekend, or whether he's auditioning for the rest of the NFL. And I got to be honest with you guys. I agree with Darryl that the NFL kind of knows who Jameis is. But if Jameis goes out there, and even if you lose to Baltimore, if you go out to Baltimore and Jameis has 300 yards passing and two touchdowns and limits it to one pick, it does make him more attractive than if Jameis looks closer to what we've seen from quarterbacks this year. Because the NFL is almost always about perception. And I don't know that that's a difference between getting a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. But I think when it comes to the Browns right now and where they are, I still think there are some fans who expect them to compete. And I really just can't knock you on that. Like, you should want to compete. Like, every time we have to have this conversation about how bad do you get, it just gets soul-sucking. And Darryl and I are in lockstep. I think the most panicky, overreactionary take from the Browns' struggles this year are, it's time to tear this thing down to the studs. One, Jimmy Haslam wasn't really good at this the first time. Two, you're not trading like okay. This isn't like trading Jabal Sheard. I like Jabal a lot. It's not trading Jabal Sheard. It's not trading Desmond Bryant. I really like Desmond. Actually, kind of an underrated player. But like, no, Myles Garrett is a franchise player. And even though it's been tough to win this year with franchise players, we've seen it that between Miles and David Njoku and Denzel, like these guys, one, I don't understand trading from a number one ranked defense because it gives you a quicker chance to rebuild. Two, I think some of the let's just tear it down to the studs and get rid of all these guys, I think some of that is quite frankly, I think the whole thing is tainted for some people. I do. I think the idea of trading Miles, it just allows you to clear your mind, right? I made the comparison, I think yesterday with JP, that one of the trends that I've seen with parents is, hey, this toy is frustrating my kid. We're going to put it in the closet and you're never going to see it again. You've just failed the kid and you've just failed the toy. Oh, that's an inanimate object. In this case, like, I understand that the disappointment is so severe that the logical thing for some fans is, well, the whole thing has to suck, and the only way you're going to get better is if you burn everything out. Nope. By the way, Miles can be a imperfect leader. Help him be a better leader. Bring in other leaders, namely on the coaching staff, that can help teach him how to be it. I don't think Miles is like an outwardly bad dude. Like, you know, like I think Miles' heart was in the right place with what he had to say on Sunday. He's trying to stand up for a guy. I think it was a little insincere because I think Miles was one of the guys that had a problem with Deshaun. That's not my story to report, but I think it stands to reason that Miles had problems with Baker when Baker was letting the team down. I have no problem that there was probably saying there was some friction there with Deshaun and Miles. And God help us if those stories ever come out. But, like, I don't think Miles is a bad dude. I think he's a little different. I think he's a little immature. But it's not Miles' fault that they're 1-6. It's not Miles' fault that the leadership isn't where it needs to be. Yes, he is a part of the leadership. Let's not take this out on Miles. Hell of a football player. Seemingly a really good dude. A little bit different. That's fine. Like David Njoku. Guys, I'll be honest with you. David Njoku probably has so much more value than we realize because top five tight ends don't grow on trees. I know David's been hurt this year. Last year showed you. Like, NFL teams are going to look at David like a top five tight end. This isn't the same as like, hey guys, what do you want for Gary Barnage? Gary's a really good tight end. He was never top five. Statistically he was, but physically he was not. I'm not trading David. Even Wyatt Teller, and I was shocked when we talked about this earlier, Wyatt's going to be 30 this year. blew my, like, completely wrinkled my brain. Had no idea. Yeah. Unless, I mean, somebody would have to absolutely overpay, meaning like first round pick, early second round pick, for me to even consider Wyatt. It's a good football player. You need more of those, not less of them. So when it comes to guys who probably shouldn't be here next year, and Za'Darius. Za'Darius is a great guy, by the way, seemingly. I keep saying great guys like I know these guys. I'm sick of making that assumption. Amari was a great guy until he wasn't. They ain't got a third-round pick for him. But when it comes to guys who should be here in 2 years, which means good football players with plenty of tread on the tires, they should be here. There's some wiggle room between, and I think this is something that JP and I caught some real traction with each other and trying to figure out where the other person was on this yesterday. There's something between the Browns are a quarterback away, which is where they were 3 years ago, and you need to completely tear this down. The Browns are a quarterback plus. And where that plus needs to come from in free agency, and it's not trades. They need to draft pillars of this franchise so that when Denzel or Miles or Joel or Wyatt or any of the guys you think are the core JOK, that when they retire as they get older, that you can replace them with. I still think MJ Emerson can be part of the core. I know JOK is part of the core. It might just be wishful thinking. I still hope that DeJuan can be part of the core. You need to find more guys, more core guys to add to this. So the Browns are not just a quarterback away. They're a quarterback plus. And that means that for the next 2 weeks, or as long as he starts, you absolutely should put Jameis into the best possible position to make a lot of plays in the hopes that somebody says, here's a third or fourth round pick for a quarterback who sure as hell isn't going to be here next year. We got Big Shot Bob Robert Horry helps us tip off the NBA season next on 92.3 The Fan.